choosing to remain non-reactive and to go with the momentum, Steve replied, "I know, sweetheart. I miss her too." Sarah then ended their dialogue with the invitation we all long for. "Daddy, would you come closer?" He drew closer and began to stroke her hair. Sleep came only a few moments later. As Steve left the room, he knew his hard work had paid off. He had not simply held his ground in a battle of attrition, as most of us try to do with our parenting. Steve had actually risen above the battle altogether. He had actually used a stress-filled time as an opportunity for growth, and he had walked away with the invitation any parent would love to receive. "Daddy, would you come closer?" The revolution we all wish for. Those words Steve heard that night are revolutionary words, especially because they came not from a manipulated and needy little girl, but from the genuine wishes of a begrudgingly respectful human being. And isn't that what we all crave in our relationships? Someone to authentically invite us closer? Isn't that the longing behind every human relationship? That someone would choose to be with us, not because we had to coerce or trick or beg them, but because they genuinely wanted to. Think back to your own childhood years. Even then you knew what you really wanted, someone who wanted you. Remember asking mommy or daddy why they loved you? Was it simply because they had to? You wanted to know you were inherently lovable, outside of some blood obligation. You wanted to know your mom chose to love you, that your dad wanted to be close to you. That desire hasn't gone away. That's what we all still want most in the world, from all of our relationships, freely chosen love. And that's what we want most from and for our kids. We crave a relationship with each of our kids that springs from respect and their authentic choice, not from our heavy-handed or passive-aggressive manipulation. We also crave relationships for our kids that are models of respect and mutually chosen love. And that's revolutionary. I firmly believe that a revolutionary relationship with each of our kids is possible for each and every one of us, and that means you. Regardless of your children's ages and regardless of your past mistakes, such revolutionary relationships are possible for you. Of course, the irony is that to grasp that type of revolution, you have to let go. It takes courage. But you must learn to let go of your child's reactions. You must let go of your child's emotions. And you must let go of your child's choices. What you must grasp in order to start a revolution are your own reactions, your own emotions, your own choices. If you love them, set them free is only half of the equation. The real key is learning to take hold of all the responsibility it takes to be you. You are not responsible for your kids, their behavior, their feelings, or any of their choices. You are responsible to them for your behavior, your feelings, and all of your choices. And every time you grasp that reality, you are indeed creating a revolution in your life and in the world. It all begins with one sentence. Every revolution, no matter how large or small, always begins with one sentence. Every significant change to a system, whether it be a society, a nation, a company, or a family like yours, always begins with the same communicated message. I'm not sure what anyone else is going to do, but this is what I'm going to do. Revolutions don't start with loud, bold proclamations. Life-altering changes do not begin with gangs of people all simultaneously acting as one. They begin with quiet statements, quiet actions of singular fortitude. They begin with a singular individual, with a resounding resolve to change herself, whatever the outcome. I was not fully aware of this until a world mover passed away in 2005, a world mover who refused to move. Like most of us, Rosa Parks did not see herself as a revolutionary. Yes, she was involved in the local chapter of the NAACP, and thus she was involved in the burgeoning civil rights movement. But she was also a wife and a seamstress, living in the segregated South of the 1950s. Once, when asked about the atmosphere of her home city of Montgomery, Alabama, she replied that things would never be different because the black community could never come together. And yet one day, she decided to ignore that lack of solidarity. She decided on her own, as an individual, to do something different. Making the changes we want in our lives, in our relationships, always begins by simply doing something different. This reflects an awareness that all behavior comes couched in a pattern, the dance I spoke of earlier. Because this dance exists, you can predict how your son is going to stall at bedtime, or what your daughter is going to say when you tell her to clean her room. These are patterns, and just as much as you can pinpoint your children's parts in the pattern, they can pinpoint yours. And as you've heard throughout this audio, the only way to change the pattern is to focus on your part in it, and then do something different.